Second Chronicles chapter 7, if you hold your spot there, and would you join me as we make this confession together? The words are on the screen, and we invite you to follow along not only here but online as well. We thank God for those joining online, and participate with us, all right? So would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. Never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I just noticed as I was looking up, talking about the light, that we have one. There we go. hadn't turned on this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning in verse 12. Just three verses here. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer. Now, I don't know if Solomon prayed this prayer over an extended period of time. He may, because he originally prayed it years earlier. But that encouraged me because our prayers don't have an expiration date, and God is able to use them, and I thank God for that. So he says, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place, the city of Jerusalem, for myself as a house of sacrifice. Verse 13, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence, that word pestilence means a plague or pandemic, among my people. Verse 14, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. One scriptural truth this morning in seven words. Here it is. If we humble ourselves, God will move. If we humble ourselves, God will move. That's a scriptural truth that we can apply first to ourselves as individuals, but we can also apply it as a people, certainly as the people of God. This morning, I want to share the fourth and final message in a series I've been working on, addressing, bringing up some of the dangers of pride. We looked at deception. That's a huge one. It's deadly, dangerous. And then we looked at five blessings associated with humility, from grace, that we need to have victory to overcome our weaknesses and resist the devil, to the last one, the fifth one we've looked at, which is the release of all of our cares onto the Lord. So all five of those, I'll just let you know, are available. If you missed any of those messages or you want to go review them, if you go to our website, clmfamily.org, on that homepage, clmfamily.org, at the header there, there's one of the tabs says from the pastor, and if you hit that, the notes that I look at on Sunday morning for those messages are there. So if you want to see, you can look at it, follow along, and Lord willing, I'll have this. I'll keep them up another week before I delete them. So if you missed any or you want to go back and review those, they're available, clmfamily.org. Just real quick, I want to focus on this text, but I want to give a little background because someone might say, but that was spoken to Solomon. That was just for Israel. Or that's just the Old Testament. So let me give you a few verses just to make sure that's not the case. First of all, in the book of Jonah, remember one of the six world empires throughout history was Assyria. Their capital was Nineveh. Nineveh was 40 days from being overthrown. And the prophet named Jonah went in. And in Jonah chapter 3, if you want to just write this down, I'll read them to you quickly. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says this. Jonah began to enter the city on a first day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What did they do? They humbled themselves. They proclaimed a national fast, and they weren't Israelites. That was one of the reasons Jonah didn't want to go to them. They were basically the enemy. And Jonah went to them. They believed God, and here's what it says, verse 10, Jonah 3:10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Amen. Thank God for his mercy. See, God is, I don't mean this, I was just saying he's merciful. I say it that way. How about that? I started to say he's a big softy, but he's not. He certainly is he's a holy God. We don't address him lightly, but he is, the Bible says mercy triumphs over judgment. He wants to forgive. He wants to love people and bless people, but we have to live his way to experience his blessing. And then one in the New Testament, this from Jesus in Matthew 11. Again, if you just want to write it down, Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 says this, that Jesus began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Here's what he said. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Do you see how even in the New Testament times, in fact, Jesus said, and Capernaum, if what happened in you was done in Sodom, Sodom would be here today. That's what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. So you see, it's not just for Israel. That's a principal truth for Scripture throughout, that if we humble ourselves, God will move. Now, just pride is an ever-present danger for all of us because pride is in our heart. I'll give you a scripture for that in just a moment. It's in Mark chapter 7. But I said before, I heard this from a pastor years ago, because pride and humility is not putting yourself down, because that's still a self-focus. Pride is self-focused. So it's not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. All right? So that's really what humility is. But Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, and this is in verse 20, Mark chapter 7, verse 20, it says, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these come from within and defile a man. Last week I taught the children, Jesus offers a new heart, because our heart is sinful and we need a new heart. And that is the issue. The sin in our heart separates us from a holy God. And we would be separated from him now and forever if it were not for his love and goodness. But because he loved us so much, he sent his sinless son, Jesus, the Son of God, willingly came to this earth, clothed himself in a human body, lived a sinless life, taught us about his Father and showed us how to live, and then willingly bore the judgment for our sins when he suffered and died on the cross. Jesus took our punishment for us, and the price has been paid in full. Every sin that every one of us have ever committed or ever will commit has been paid for by the blood of Jesus on the cross. Amen. Thank God. And then 3 days later, after he had conquered sin and Satan, he conquered death and came back to life, and he's alive forevermore. And if we believe with our heart that he really is Lord, he forgives all of our sin, cleanses us, and his Holy Spirit lives on the inside to help us follow God and to live his way. So if we humble ourselves, God will move. Would you say that with me? If we humble ourselves, God will move. And then just one last scripture before we kind of focus on that 2 Chronicles. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy 8. Again, if you just want to write it down. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because this is one way, probably some of us have learned, that God can show us that we need him. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you. See, God-ordained tests can help us remember we need God, after all, to humble you and to test you to know what's in your heart. God knows, but it reveals it to us whether we'll keep his commandments or not. Verse 3, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So, verse 16, last verse here, It says, God fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. God doesn't, he never tests our faith to hurt us. He always has a good end in mind. He tests our faith to help us to grow closer to him, to recognize our dependency upon him, and to do us good in the long run. So let me share just quickly two ways that humility is manifest. How, when the Bible says if we humble ourselves, what does humility look like? And then we'll look at God's corresponding action. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, once again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and then pray and seek my face. Humility, first of all, prays and seeks God. Humility prays and seeks God. And I'll read you a scripture there from the book of Psalms that really is a complimentary verse to go along with that. Prayerlessness indicates pride because we think we don't need God. See, if we don't think we need God, why would you pray? If we don't think about God, then I apparently don't need him because I can live my life fine without him. You see how that heart and that spirit and that whole attitude, but that's not the way we're to live as those who know him as our Father, as those who follow Jesus. We're not to live that way. And so God gave us this example in the nation of Israel. And humility recognizes our dependence on our Father in heaven. This is what the Bible says in Psalms 10:4. Psalms chapter 10, verse 4 says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. Please think about that. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Say, we pray to seek God. They're both together in the New King James translation. It's, of course, it's in English, and they put the punctuation, but the comma is joined after pray and seek God. They group together. So we pray to seek God. We pray to seek his will. We pray to seek his guidance, his grace, his strength. We pray to seek every good gift that God has for us, but it's not automatic. We're to seek him. So pray and seek God. And this is what he says again in that verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, the blessing that is given for the people of God, it says he make his countenance shine upon you and his face be upon you. We seek God's face. Here's how the Bible presents it. When God turns his face towards someone, it brings blessings and favor. When God turns his face away from someone, it brings calamity and consequences. So that's why he said, seek my face. I want to bless you, but just seek me. Even if you were in sin, he says, if you humble yourself and you pray and seek my face, and then there is the corresponding action that humility not only prays and seeks God, this second one, humility repents. Humility repents. Disobedience to God's word has consequences. Depending on what the disobedience is and depending on how long it goes on, often determines those consequences. But sin is always harmful. Sin is always hurtful. That's why we don't want it to just go unconfessed and without repentance. We want to keep that slate clean. I'll show you that in just a moment. But obedience to God's word brings us back into God's will so that we can live in the full blessing of his favor and grace. So it repents. Then that one last time there, verse 14, says that if they will turn from their wicked ways. Repentance is we turn from our wicked ways to God's righteous ways. That's repentance. So humility prays and seeks God, and humility repents. Would you say that with me? Humility prays and seeks God, and humility repents. Leonard Ravenhill, I don't know if any of you are familiar with his name or not, he wrote this in a book. It says, when we get humble enough, desperate enough, concerned enough, passionate enough, prayerful enough, then God will send revival from heaven. God will pour out his Holy Spirit. If we humble ourselves, God will move. Would you say it once again with me? If we humble ourselves, God will move. Now, if you turn to the New Testament book of 1 John chapter 5, right toward the end of your Bible, 1 John chapter 5, and I'll close with these just three corresponding ways God moves. If we humble ourselves, we do our part. I'll base it on that scripture we read in 2 Chronicles 7, but I wanted you to see the relation in the New Testament as well of how God moves among his people in New Testament times. So if we humble ourselves, God will move. And the first way he said he would move is, if we humble ourselves, pray and seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven. So first way God moves is he hears our prayers. And in the scripture, in the Bible, when it talks about God hearing a prayer, it's not just he audibly heard, it means he hears them and responds. That's what it means when it talks about God hearing our prayers. He hears and answers prayer that are according to his will. 1 John chapter 5 is a great scriptural promise for praying God's word and what we know to be his will to assure us and give us confidence. And this is how it words it in 1 John 5:14. It says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him," in Christ, "that if we ask anything," would you say anything? "If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Verse 15. "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked from him." Brothers and sisters, when our hearts are right with God, we want his kingdom to come. We want his reign and his rule to come, and we want his will to be done in us, and we want his will to be done on earth even as it is in heaven. That's why Jesus told us to pray that way. So if we line ourselves up with God and his will, and we pray according to his will, we can pray confidently. Now, I didn't say the answer would come instantly. I just said we can pray confidently. And there's a place Jesus taught us men should always pray. People should always pray and not faint. We don't want to quit. We got to persevere in prayer until the answer comes. Pray until something happens. That was a little sonata, with the letters push, P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. So we seek God, we pray until he responds accordingly, whichever his will is. But it's confidence that we can pray in him. And then in 1 John chapter 1, would you turn back just to 1 John chapter 1, if you're in chapter 5? Not only does God move by hearing our prayers, God moves by forgiving our sin when we humble ourselves. So if we humble ourselves, God will move. He is true to his word. He is faithful, and we can count on him. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God. How many of you are glad today for new beginnings? Any of you glad for new beginnings? Oh, my goodness. I thank God for new beginnings. Thank God that even a past season of mess up does not have to be my current season. God is able to change seasons. And I'm thankful that the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. When we open up our eyes, we had brand new mercies waiting on us today. And I thank God for new beginnings. I'm so glad that God is not like some folk. And we shouldn't sin, but if you mess up, catch an attitude or something one day, they're hanging over your head and remind you. Well, we've got an accuser to remind us. We don't need any help, probably. But I thank God Jesus is a justifier, and he's a forgiver and a cleanser, and he gives us new beginnings. And the Bible says this in 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light," speaking of obedience to his word, it's the light of Scripture, "if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from" how much? All sin. If you've ever taken a dirty, let's say you had a glass and you had something in it, maybe it's discolored or whatever it may have been, and you put it in the sink and you turn the water on and it starts going in that glass, that clean water is going to eventually displace whatever was inside. And it'll look like it's clear if you let it run long enough. That's how we live our Christian lives, or we can. That we stay in such fellowship with the Lord that even when we do sin and fall, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. His Spirit is continually flowing. The blood of Jesus never loses its power, and it keeps us clean. And see, repentance and faith go together. Please always remember that. Not only do we repent, but we believe. Repentance and faith go together. That's why verse 8 says this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, not blame, not excuse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He's just because the sin was already paid for by Jesus on the cross. He didn't sweep it under the rug. He won't do that. He's holy. But he dealt with that sin. It was already judged on his son. And if we will repent and believe him and confess it, then we're cleansed from all unrighteousness. It's what that scripture says. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's do this. When we sin, let's repent quickly and not let it drag on. And let's agree with God. And then let's by faith receive his cleansing and thank him and just stay in close fellowship with him. Don't let it go on. Don't let time drag on and our heart can be hardened or whatever. Let's stay close to the Lord and in fellowship with him. And then finally, not only will God move by hearing our prayers and forgiving our sin, he will heal. He will heal. That's what the scripture said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Let me read you this scripture from James chapter 5. Because I often think about this, especially relating a truth like today. If this is a scriptural truth that's for history through time, then it not only worked for Israel, it will work for us today. And it will work in a communist country today. And it will work in an Islamic country today. Or what, an atheistic country. It will work in a dictatorship. It may be because of the corruption that can come into governments that people suffer, and they do. And it may be that God moves more on that individual level. If we humble ourselves, God will still move, regardless of what government we live under. I said, if we humble ourselves, God will still move, even if it's just to give us grace to deal with what we got to deal with, regardless of the government. Now, the government's important. I'm not denying that. I'm simply saying, let's look higher. If we humble ourselves, God will move. And the scripture says here in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says that James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses, your faults to one another, and pray for one another. See how it links the repentance and the prayer all together? That you may be healed. That word heal is also translated made whole or made well. I love that because that's my prayer. Even if someone is battling sickness, I've just started praying, Lord, I pray that you'll bring wellness into their spirit, bring wholeness into their emotions and into their souls. And then I pray that that would even have a healing effect into their body. So we can experience that inner wholeness and wellness, spiritual wellness, even if we're battling some symptoms in our physical body. But he does heal too. But he says that if you do this, he says that you will be healed. The effectual or effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails, or woman, males avails much. Thank God we can be made whole and we can be healed on the inside first. If we humble ourselves, God will move. Would you say it once again with me? If we humble ourselves, God will move. So if we humble ourselves as the followers of Jesus, he said, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. If we humble ourselves, God will move. I believe he'll move in us, but don't you know God wants to move through us so that we can be a righteous influence on those around us and to our country? Here's the bottom line. If we can bring someone to the awareness of their need for Jesus and the gospel, and they are forgiven of their sin and Jesus gives them a new heart and his spirit lives on the inside of them, haven't we brought blessing to them? So if that's what really blesses a land, changed hearts and changed lives will bless a land. It'll bless a family. It'll bless a community. It'll bless a church. And it'll bless an area if enough people experience the grace of God. Then that's how we can be that righteous influence on our government. And whether that's a local or a state level, I'll just close with this. I bought a few of these little pamphlets. It says, How to Pray for Our Leaders. I bought them from the Billy Graham Association. They're back on the table if you'd like to take one. I do want to encourage you, please, please, pray for our leaders. First of all, we're commanded to do that as Scripture. But I read a testimony of a lady who worked for, she was up in Washington for a while and just being around congressmen and different ones. And she said they need our prayers, especially those who are believers. She said they're on the front lines of spiritual battle, and we don't want them to be uncovered without our prayers. Remember what happened in Daniel chapter 10? There was a battle in the spirit realm going on for 3 weeks because a spirit was over that kingdom battling an angel, a spirit that came with Daniel's answer. That spiritual battle shows that we need to pray, but we need to live in a way that honors God as well. That's where the humility comes in. America was founded on scriptural truth. That is an undeniable fact of history. And because we have experienced great blessings and grace in our land, even financially. And to this day, some will risk their lives and the lives of their families to try to get here. It was by scriptural truth and the grace of God, we were able to overcome the evil of treating our fellow human beings like they were property and see slavery ended in our nation. That wasn't from the influence of atheism or communism, Marxism. It was from the influence of the Bible and Christians who believed the Word of God that we were all truly created in the image and likeness of God. If we humble ourselves, I remember years ago at one point, America was the greatest exporter of the gospel and missionaries to the rest of the world. Now, if what I read is true, and this has been some years ago, we have become the greatest exporter of pornography to the other nations of the world. If we humble ourselves, brothers and sisters, God will move. As we see how far we've fallen as a people from the Lord, it's easy to blame. It's easy to look to a human leader for the answers. But I like what Gary Wilkerson said. When the believers in the New Testament were beaten, arrested, threatened, and all of that, they never went back to the believers and wanted to see primarily, in fact, it's never even brought up about a political change. He said the disciples of Jesus never talked about a political answer to a spiritual problem. That's what I'm saying. Let's lift our focus higher. If we pray, if we humble ourselves and do our part, then because we do want God's blessing on our land, and there, if we live by godly principles, it can turn things around. But it takes God to change a heart. If I change someone's political viewpoint and don't change their heart, I haven't really helped them in the long run. But if we can change someone's, if God uses us to change a heart, and they believe the Bible for themselves, then they can want God's will too and see it brought in that way. Does that make sense? That's how we filter, that's how we flavor as salt and how we shine as the light of the world. So if we humble ourselves, I want to encourage you today. Let's pray. Let's do our part. God will move. He's done it throughout history. Wouldn't it be great? Aren't we ready for a great revival and a great awakening in America once again to see God pour his spirit out? I believe there's hope. I believe there's hope today. I don't know what the future holds. I just know if we do our part, God will give us grace and God will move. His heart is to reach people, and that certainly includes us. So let's trust him to help us live in his grace and in obedience to his will so that we can be that righteous influence, be the salt of the earth, be the light of the world that he's called us to be. If we humble ourselves, God will move. Can we stand as we close in prayer? One final thought. Let's continue to pray, but we have freedoms here. Let's take advantage of them. Not only pray, but register and vote, please. And be a godly influence. Support candidates who, if they embrace a truth of Scripture, God bless them. Let's pray. Let's believe God that He can turn things around if we do our part. So I don't want people to go to either extreme, like where it's all politics and a human is kind of our Messiah, but I don't want us to go to the opposite extreme either to say, well, it's so evil, I don't mess with it. No, we got to be involved, and we pray and we seek God and we do our part. So let's just sing this as a closing prayer and a song to remind us of this text this morning. Lord, You have told us, and Lord, You have promised that if Your people would pray, You would hear. You would hear from heaven. You would send Your mercy and touch us with Your strong healing hand. So we're calling out to You, crying out to You. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of our sin, heal our land. As we seek Your holy face, we turn from all our wicked ways. Hear from heaven even now as we pray. Let's sing it through one more time. Lord, You have told us. Lord, You have told us. Lord, You have promised that if Your people would pray, that You would hear from heaven, and You would send Your mercy and touch us with Your strong healing hand. So we're calling out to You, crying out to You, forgive us of our sin, heal our land. As we seek Your holy face, we turn from all our wicked ways. Hear from heaven even now as we pray. Hear from heaven even now.
Sing that again. Hear from heaven.
Hear from heaven even now.
Sing it one more time. Hear from heaven.
Hear from heaven even now.
As we pray.
As we pray.
Let's lift up our nation. Father, we thank You for the blessing of this country. Thank You for allowing us to be here. You've appointed us at this time in history, at this place, and we want to say thank You. Many would love to have the freedoms and blessings that we can take for granted. Help us not to. Help us to realize that we have been blessed in every way, but we were blessed initially because there were those who really sought You and wanted a place where they could worship You freely. Would You grant us that mercy once again? Lord, pour Your Spirit out on us. Show us our need. Give us a great awakening and a revival among Your people, Lord, that would filter out into our families and the communities and into our nation, in the churches, Lord, that righteousness would prevail. The gospel would go forth in power and lives would be changed. You can do it, Lord. You can do it. And our confidence is in You today. Help us to do our part to humble ourselves, pray and seek You and turn from our ways, and then trust You with the results and believe You for Your will. In Jesus' name, amen.